Jacob's help. We are considering tonight God's word from John chapter 17 and verse 17. The word here is the prayer of our Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let us pray again. O Lord, we bow to thee. We would humble ourselves before thee. And we confess that thy word is such a great deep. There is so much here. And Lord, we confess that it is only by the help of thy Spirit that we can take in thy marvelous truth. We thank thee for this prayer of our Lord for us. And we know that the unchanging Christ continues effectually to pray this prayer for us. And so it gives us hope and confidence. And we pray that thou wilt bless our meditation, that our thoughts would indeed be directed to thee, O blessed God. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Bishop J.C. Ryle said this last Lord's Prayer came right after the first Lord's Supper. That's pretty amazing. This last Lord's Prayer came right after the first Lord's Supper. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ had already begun his wonderful present ministry of intercession, which continues to this very hour for us. He ever liveth for the expressed purpose of making intercession for his believing people. Hebrews 7:25. What the unchanging and unchangeable Christ prayed for us while on this earth, he continues to pray for us from the highest throne of the universe where he now sits. He directs his prayer for us in this way. You notice in verse 11, he said, Holy Father. He directed his prayer to his Holy Father. To our great Creator God, Christ asks for our sanctification. Certainly, the Eternal Father that made us is able to sanctify and to make us into holy people. It is most interesting to note what Christ does not pray for his believing children in this prayer. He does not pray for our justification, because the justification of his believing children is already perfect and complete, having been obtained for us by Christ's great atoning work, and it cannot be improved upon or made better. The moment we believed on Christ, his perfect justifying righteousness was imputed to us. Imputed to our account. His righteousness is external righteousness from us. But thank God it is accounted to us and received by faith alone. How wonderful. Let us look at the 17th verse of this wonderful 17th chapter. And I would just ask this verse three questions. For what does our Savior pray? Secondly, for whom does our Savior pray? And by what means, thirdly, by what means will this prayer be answered? First of all, for what does our Savior pray? He prays, sanctify them through thy truth. The basic meaning of sanctify is, of course, to set apart or to separate to a holy use. Our Lord Jesus uses the same term in relation to himself, just two verses down below verse 17. At verse 19, he says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Our Lord, in sanctifying himself, he simply set himself apart as the sacrificial Lamb of God to be slain for us, because our sin must be put away by the Almighty before we can ever become a holy people. Our sin must first be put away, and thank God it has been put away by the sacrifice of himself. Christ had already prayed in verse 15, if you notice, "Not that we be taken out of the world, but that we should be kept from the evil." This request was that the negative evil, the vile, wicked, sinful things of the world would not be our choice, but we would be kept from them even while living in such a filthy world. Now, we are to be kept from the evil while being in the world, not by running away to a monastery or a convent. We can't escape the evil. The evil is all around us. But we do praise God that because of the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be kept from the evil. Now, and not merely being kept outwardly clean from the evil like the scribes and the Pharisees were. You know, it's very easy, in a sense, to be outwardly clean as they were, to not do this or not do that. But that is not really the sanctifying holiness that Christ is praying for. Not just negatively that we be kept from the evil, but rather that we would be so sanctified with holiness in our heart that we will not even desire to run after the corruption that is in the world through lust. Christ is praying for such a holiness of heart within his people to be conformed more and more to his own image and likeness, so that our inner character will be pure with desire for communion with God, that our heart cry would ever be for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be our very life, that we would indeed walk with God and live out some of the songs that we love to sing. I thought about those songs, "I Need Thee Every Hour Most Blessed Lord," and "Moment by Moment I'm Kept in His Love." And that is the sanctifying that he's praying for. Oh, that we would be so sanctified that we would not be spiritual sluggards with cold hearts ever slipping toward the carnality of the world. It is not sufficient to be negatively clean, to not do this or not do that. No, we must have a real living relationship with the Lord, a real love for him. As Paul wrote in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, "Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." For what does our Savior pray? He prays, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Secondly, for whom does he pray this? sanctify them. Now, verse 9 is absolutely clear. If you look there at verse 9, our Savior says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. The antecedent for the pronoun them reaches all the way back to verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Our Lord Jesus Christ is praying right here in the New Testament, exactly as the prophetic word regarding the atonement is given in Isaiah 53 and verse 12. The scripture says there, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He makes intercession for the transgressors whose sins he bore. For whom did he make that atonement? Jesus said in John chapter 10, he didn't say it once, but he repeated it again and again so we would be sure to get it. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Again, in verse 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And you know the Lord Jesus liked to use the sheep and the goats as his illustration. And never does he say he laid his life down for the goats, but only for the sheep. His exclusive atonement, even as he commands the husbands in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself literally for her, singular, not for a man to love many wives, but one wife, as Christ loved his one universal church, chosen before the foundation of the world, and gave his life and gave himself for her. It's literally a feminine pronoun there in the original. When we realize that Christ is praying not for the world, I'll never forget when it dawned on me. I remember standing outside my mother's house where Myra and Ernie's new house is going up now. And it dawned on me what the Lord was saying in verse 9. That he prayed specifically, personally, individually for us, his people, the sheep of his pasture, those given to him in the bonds of the everlasting covenant. We realize how special his intercession is for us, for our sanctification. And we are encouraged and we are strengthened to know that he is making particular intercession for us, for little old me. Isn't that wonderful? Since Christ prays this for his people, we can be absolutely certain that he will work sanctification into our heart and life. Whatever it takes. And even as we considered in Sunday school this morning, the providence of God can use various circumstances, people, and situations and problems to work that sanctification in our lives. Even sometimes in the form of chastening. He prays for sanctification, and he prays only for his people. And finally, by what means will this prayer be answered? It's right there in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God has joined holiness to truth. When you think of those wonderful attributes or characteristics of the divine nature of the triune God, you think of that in our shorter catechism. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So truth and holiness are right there. God has joined truth to holiness. And true faith is a sincere belief in the truth, and every truth leads to holiness. The scripture alone is absolute truth, essential truth, decisive truth, final truth, authoritative truth, undiluted truth, eternal truth, and praise God, saving truth. Then how earnestly we should search the scriptures and learn the scriptures and hold fast to the scriptures. As Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, we must soak ourselves in the scriptures, reading, meditating on them, memorizing them. Oh, how we need to hear God's word as well as read it. We need to hear the preaching of the word regularly. And I'm going to tell you, this preacher gets preached to more than you do, because I preach the message to myself a few times before I preach it to you. And I need it, believe me. Oh, how we must order our lives by God's word. Our thinking, our speaking, our actions and living should be controlled by the scriptures. Your home and your family must be ordered by the scriptures if we expect the blessing of God and the answers to our prayers. The word of God must excite us to action. The word of God must check us to inaction. It must hold us back from bad action and drive us onward to good action. Our congregation is determined to keep the old paths of God's word. I am bound to the old paths of God's word, for that is the good way and the only true rest for our souls, Jeremiah tells us. It is the precious word of God, empowered by the same Holy Spirit that breathed it, that has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, may the Lord indeed sanctify us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let us pray together. How can we begin, Almighty God, to give thee thanks for the wonderful book that tells us of our wonderful Savior, who prays for us right now, even this prayer, that we be a sanctified and holy people unto thyself. So, Lord, continue. We know that thou wilt continue. And, Lord, we look to thee to answer, oh, Father, the almighty intercession of thy Son in our behalf. We pray in his name. Amen.